This is really about making all the different processes of the federal government more efficient.
And I know there's stuff in there about cloud computing. Detail out some trillions. That's a lot of money.
Well, it is. And this is a significant amount of money that could cut our tax dollars, could improve government service. This is, I think, a really bold initiative. It pulls together a lot of different pieces that people have been talking about and presents a package which I hope will get some political support, both, you know, on Capitol Hill and from the general public. The big item is really doing a better job of managing the supply chain. The federal government buys over $500 billion worth of stuff every year. If you take the best practices from the private sector for managing supply chain and applied it to that amount of money, you can see 10% or even larger savings, which add up to at least $500 billion over 10 years. This isn't radical stuff. This is something that the best companies are already doing. Another big piece of it is something I work on a lot, which is cloud computing. It's consolidating the data centers, making better use of the existing computing resources. Many of the federal agencies have machines that are only being used 5 or 10% of the time. If you move that workload off of their own machines into the cloud or into a consolidated data center, you see immediate cost savings, and you also save a lot in energy. So that's another $150 billion or so, at least, over the next 10 years.
And is there stuff, because the cloud computing initiative, certainly the federal CIO, Vivek Kundra, has made a big push to pushing towards cloud computing and looking at this in real clear-cut ways. Is the stuff that's in the assessment that you guys did different from what the administration is already working on?
Oh, this isn't my study. I'm just here commenting on it.
Okay.
They're going beyond some of the things that the White House has proposed, but certainly they're moving in the same direction, and in some cases they're facing the same common enemy, which is inertia.
Yeah.
You've got existing systems, you've got contracts that are already out there, you've got, in some cases, 25-year-old rules that have to be reinterpreted or rewritten.
Well, in some ways, you also have an ecosystem that, I mean, it's hard to change in government anyway, which you well know, but it's almost this ecosystem that has evolved around, hey, people want to spend a lot. Vivek Kundra now tells the story all the time about TSA wanted to build a blog and some contractor said, well, we can do that for $60,000. And it's almost like the free tools, we don't take those seriously in some way.
Well, it is a matter of thinking about new ways of doing things, and that does require some effort, and it does require, in some cases, working with new vendors and using new technology. But I think if you get the high-level leadership from the White House and from the CEOs and from the key committees in the Congress, this can happen. There's not a lot of opposition here. It's very hard to stand up and say, I don't want to save $1 trillion
right,
over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I don't imagine many people running on that platform.
Yeah, and this is not hard stuff. The report goes through the lowest hanging fruit. These are things that have already proven effective in other governments and certainly in the top businesses in this country. There are more radical proposals that could probably save you another $1 trillion, but they require massive restructuring of organizations, and in some cases they require changing the mission of agencies. Those are hard cultural changes. Everything in this report can be done without breaking a lot of eggs.
So you've been in government before. If this is the low-hanging fruit, why hasn't it been done?
Because when there's not a real push, it just takes somebody standing up and saying, well, maybe we should do another study, or what about security? There's always an excuse to not move. This kind of push from the White House and from the CEOs and from Congress could make a difference.
And has there, I mean, because it seems, I haven't covered this for a long time, it seems like everyone's been pushing this way. I remember Al Gore talking about, you know, the National Performance Review. We're going to focus on performance and getting doing things better, faster, cheaper. That was 20 years ago.
Well, that was when I was at the White House.
There you go.
Working with the vice president, and some progress was made. The fact, though, now is we have tools that make it 20 or 50 times easier and cheaper to use information technology. And that's the radical difference. That's the huge opportunity here. Moving to the cloud, moving to open source platforms, using the net to deliver services that we used to deliver on paper. I mean, all these are things that we can do so easy now, and we just have to do it. And that, as I said, requires the leadership from the CIO and from the and the help of the committees, because that there are some changes in rules and there are some budgets that will have to be readjusted, and that only gets done by the Appropriations Committee and the authorizing committees.
It also seems like part of this is that concept where I'm so unique I can't use a tool that everyone else uses. And we still hear that in government to a certain degree.
Well, we call them the server huggers. This is my data. This is my machine. I want it in my basement. And that doesn't work in the corporate world anymore, and it doesn't work in government. But somebody has to push, and it has to be the agency head. It has to be the congressional committee. It has to be people asking questions about why things are so much more expensive at one agency than another. That's one thing that the GAO does very well, is it can go through and compare, find out who's getting the best bang for the buck, get a little competition going here on who can save the most money.
A couple months ago, I took OMB to task because they, in fact, the former OMB director, Peter Orszag, had said something akin to the federal government had almost entirely missed the transformation that technology has brought about in the private sector. And I've seen a lot of transformation in government, dating back to National Performance Review and all the way through. But it does seem like this is really such a unique time and place where, as you say, these tools are cloud computing. It's not complex. It just takes some focus.
And the great thing is we have agencies that can serve as role models for the rest. It's not like there aren't useful experiments and pilot projects and technology leaders that we can point to. You've reported on many of them.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of taking those good examples and applying them more broadly. I'm excited about this. I've worked with the technology CEO's Council, which used to be called the Computer Systems Policy Project, for more than 15 years. And when these guys get on an issue and when they decide they're going to push at the high level, when they take the CEOs and visit the Hill and visit the White House, they tend to get things done. And people listen. They've done work on export control issues, e-commerce policy. I was on the receiving end of some of these reports, and it was very, very helpful to have the issues laid out so clearly and to have major corporations all coming together. We know in Washington that the impact of a report or a statement increases with the square of the number of CEOs who endorse it.
Right.
So, you know, one is good. You know, in this case, we got seven CEOs. That's seven times seven. So almost 50 times the impact. And I hope it'll get some coverage, because $1 trillion is a huge chunk of money.
And money that can, I mean, this all feels a little bit like deja vu, going back to the early 90s, where we were talking about better, faster, cheaper, and at that time these tools seem remarkable. It is an opportunity to really do things in almost fundamentally different ways.
Yeah. Well, back in the 90s, some of the things that we were trying were being done for the first time.
Yeah.
The White House website that was created in 1994 was one of the very first government websites anywhere in the world. Well, you know, that's old technology now, and you know, government is not trying to be at the bleeding edge. We're just trying to adopt some of the best practices that are already widely deployed in corporations.
And so, having been there and done that, recommendations for folks actually getting started on this, what so often happens is people do start getting into the devilish details, and it becomes hard.
Well, I think the White House is on the right track here, and what Vivek Kundra and the team at OSTP are doing is exactly the right thing to do. They're looking around to see where there are regulatory barriers and working with GSA to make sure that cloud computing isn't going to be blocked because of some 30-year-old regulation. But more importantly, they're seeding pilot projects. They're finding places where an individual office or a program can move to the cloud. They're not trying to do a top-down, everybody follow the same game plan approach. They're really trying to see what makes sense right now, start it, get small projects off the ground, and then build and build. And we're seeing that, you know, across the board. But and I think I watch it most closely in cloud, and I'm very heartened by what I see. But I do see some reluctance on the Hill to shift money into new things. There's always this temptation, particularly when money is scarce, there's always a temptation to say, well, maybe we'll wait till next year. And the sad thing here is that you can save so much money this year that in the long run you're just generating phony savings.